I think half the audience will find you very amusing and good, and I think the other half are going to find you very annoying.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Curtis Subaru Studio. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. Hey, Sean, we're going to do top story first.
Nice, I already have that on deck.
Then we'll do... Oh, wait a second. No, hold on. Yeah, that's top story. I misnumbered them on my sheet here. We got a bunch of breaking news coming in. With the governor.
Okay.
Yeah. So, top story, then we'll do local.
All right.
Then...
Yes.
Bizarro.
That is strange.
Yeah. And then local again.
Who needs a show meeting?
I do.
Oh.
Let's get right to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
So everybody says it doesn't have any chance at all, but Donald Trump's immigration plan that he announced in the Rose Garden a little bit earlier this afternoon, I mean, this is a dream come true for America. He says this is the difference between his plan and the Democrats.
Democrats are proposing open borders, lower wages, and frankly, lawless chaos. We are proposing an immigration plan that puts the jobs, wages, and safety of American workers first. Our proposal is pro-American, pro-immigrant, and pro-worker. It's just common sense. It will help all of our people, including millions of devoted immigrants, to achieve the American dream.
But he says he wants to get away from random selection.
Random selection is contrary to American values and blocks out many qualified potential immigrants from around the world who have much to contribute. While countless, and you wouldn't believe how many countries like Canada create a clear path for top talent, America does not.
Yeah, let's look out for our country before we look out for the rest of the world. Canada does it, Japan does it, Australia, New Zealand, where you are awarded points based on what you can bring into our country. And
you will get more points for being a younger worker, meaning you will contribute more to our social safety net.
And if you can't speak the language, you're almost certainly consigned to poverty and being a leech on the taxpayers here.
To promote integration, assimilation, and national unity, future immigrants will be required to learn English and to pass a civics exam prior to admission.
The way it was when America was not dominated by radical thinking. And here's the bottom line.
To protect benefits for American citizens, immigrants must be financially self-sufficient.
So in other words, take care of yourself if you come to our country and don't be a drain on the taxpayers. Now, this shows how mentally ill the Democrats have gotten, that they could actually look at that and say, that's a non-starter, that we're going to do. I mean, they love the socialism in so many other countries, but to have an immigration system that's akin to some of those other countries, well, that's outrageous, because, you know, they want people who are leeches on society and on taxpayers, hoping that they will get a path to citizenship, because if you can't provide for yourself, you'll be a Democrat. I mean, it's just that simple. So that's Trump's plan. But what does Jay Inslee have to say about this?
The Big Lead, Big Local.
Well, look, for a guy who's married to a woman who got in under questionable circumstances, it takes a lot of gall to try to change this situation.
What a punk. So Jay Inslee's attacking Melania now. I think Trudy has been off limits here. I'm pretty sure Trudy Inslee has been off limits. Should we open it up? Governor, seriously, do you want, I don't know what people will find, but you want people to go after Trudy? if you're going to go after the president's wife. By the way, Jay Inslee was asked about, where was this interview? Who was he doing this interview with?
ABC News.
Okay. He was asked about a lot of things, including they asked him about the Alabama abortion law, and he called it an abomination. And one of my texters from the 360 said, Governor Inslee on the anti-abortion law called the measure an abomination. I feel he should open up his Bible, if he owns one, and see what the Bible says about abomination. And so I looked it up. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19, lists seven things which are abominations. Two of them are a lying tongue and a false witness who utters lies. You've said you would not raise taxes. Do you pledge to my listeners that as governor, you will not raise taxes or support tax increases in this state?
My plan is very specific. It does not propose or support tax increases in general taxes.
Well, at least he knows an abomination when he sees one, I guess. Okay, and then one other thing he was asked about was, he said he doesn't want to compromise on the Green New Deal. He just proposed a $9 trillion Green New Deal, which would cost every taxpayer in America.
And specifically, he was kind of commenting on Biden. So Biden isn't as big.
He's afraid Biden's going to compromise and be a little more centrist. So Jay Inslee said this about compromising Democrats.
People were concerned about this comment that somehow we would have a middle ground because
we haven't seen it yet, to be clear.
We haven't seen it yet. But if you start your, if you look at the lens through, let's do halvesies here. Let's have measures. You're not, it doesn't cut the mustard.
Wait, what didn't it cut?
Mustard.
Didn't cut the mustard, huh?
As opposed to ketchup.
Mustard.
Huh. A couple of years ago, Nicole, you were on the same cruise as my family. When you have to go to the lifeboat drill, what's that called?
I think it's called a muster, right?
That's what I thought. I'm wrong. Apparently, it's a mustard drill on the cruise ships. You cruise occasionally, Ursula. Did you realize?
Yes.
Or you just started. Did you realize that? Do you do the mustard drill?
I don't like mustard, so no. I don't.
I think we know it's putting the turd in mustard here.
And it's funny because ABC is in quotes tweeting that out, that he said cut the mustard.
Well, they should.
Such a joke.
What does cut the mustard mean? Is that like a Democrat euphemism for passing gas? Cut the mustard? I always thought the word was muster, but I could be wrong. I'm no Jay Inslee. Wait a second.
Wait.
What?
Now I'm looking. If you look.
It's wrong. Whatever you're looking at is wrong. Muster is a military term.
Right?
And
no,
if somebody's ready
mustard.
For service, they cut mustard.
No, it says cut the mustard.
Where?
I know. Now I'm thinking. And it's supposedly in the
mustard.
Story Heart of the West.
All cut the mustard means is I want half as much mustard on my subway as the guy before me. Cut the mustard.
Apparently, O. Henry first used the words in this sense in his story Heart of the West in 1907 when he wrote, I looked around and found a proposition that exactly cut the mustard.
Yeah.
Maybe
mustard.
That's what Jay was doing.
That's not what he's meant to say.
Let's do halvesies here. Let's have measures. You're not. It doesn't cut the mustard.
He wants to be the next president of the United States. Oh, man. Up next in the big lead.
The big lead. Bizarro world.
Oh, I let me change that one, Sean. Maybe we do have to have show meetings.
All right, what's going on, buddy?
Change that one to Dory Monson show exclusively.
Exclusive,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
All right. You want that coming at you right now?
Yeah, right now.
Okay,
yeah.
Going in hot.
The big lead, Dory Monson show exclusive.
Yeah, because a listener sent this one to me. They had if you missed this at noon, I went much more in depth. I'm not going to be able to play all of this for you, but... Tuesday night, they had a mass transit community meeting at the Linwood Library. The Linwood Library, one of the great things about it, it's right on a bus line, a community transit bus line. And the four representatives were all pro-bus, pro-mass transit people. And so they asked the four panelists a great question at this mass transit forum.
If each of you could say, how did you get here tonight?
Okay, very fair question. How did you mass transit advocates who want all of us to get onto buses and trains, how'd you get to this community forum about mass transit with your agencies and your cities? Up first, Cameron Girl, North Corridor Development Director for Sound Transit.
Well, I'll be the first to start there. I looked at my options, and I ended up taking a Sound Transit vehicle to drive here tonight.
Oh, he took a car. Plus, a car that you and I pay for, a Sound Transit vehicle. Why do we even have Sound Transit vehicles? Why don't they just take the bus and the train everywhere?
I did that for two reasons.
Oh, okay, tell me.
The transit options that I had weren't good enough. They weren't competitive enough compared to driving the vehicle. And given when my day ended and what I needed to do on the way here that was work-related and then getting here on time, I didn't have enough time to take transit.
Oh, he had to do stuff. And he wanted to get there on time. So bus wasn't an option for this busy public servant. He had stuff to do, unlike you and me. We got nothing but free time. We got nothing but empty lives. As I said a couple of hours ago, we're the unwashed masses. They want us to take the bus, but they drive. I mean, that's just one guy. Second person, Roland Behe, manager of planning for community transit. Oh, that's the bus agency. I'm sure and it's community transit that goes right to the Linwood Library.
I'm in the same boat as Cameron. I'm kind of bent out of shape about it because I'm usually a daily bike commuter. So I live 7 miles from my office.
How noble. He's a bicyclist. Oh, so he rode his bike to the meeting.
Enjoying my bike ride. But no, I had to make arrangements with my wife to get the Prius today. So I drove my personal.
By the way, I have the audio file open. And it spikes on words that are emphasized. The biggest spike is, and so I took the family Prius. He really wanted to make sure that this noble bike rider, that he took the Prius. He drove. He works for community transit. Why'd you drive, man?
I actually enjoy my bike ride, but no, I had to make arrangements with my wife to get the Prius today. So I
Prius.
Drove my personal car down here, and I'll drive it home tonight. But, yeah, in the future, I would look forward to taking rail as well.
In the future, why couldn't you tonight? Why didn't you take the bus tonight? Oh, I'm sure you were busy. Okay, I get you. Okay, the mayor of Mount Lake Terrace.
Well, I could have walked here from my mom's condo, but I...
What does that mean? I could have walked here from my mom's condo. What in the world does that mean? Did you? No.
I have to say that a lot of elected officials who are also on transit boards have never taken public transportation, which surprised me.
But she's more noble.
And they're making decisions for you, and they've never taken public transportation. I own an Orca card.
Oh, that's good. But she didn't use it that night. She never answered, but she made clear that she drove. She also has another job that I think she said she's a real estate agent. So she couldn't be bothered with taking a bus. And then the final guy, David Kleitch, Director of Economic Development for the City of Linwood, certainly one of the four panelists, these public servants, at least one of them took the bus that goes right to the Linwood Library for this community forum, right? I bet this dude did.
So let me start with a number. So,
okay, you know that's a problem. You know he's going to babble about something, and it was boring. So let's just find out if he took the bus.
So having said that, today I had no alternative. Because I was at seven different places to go to seven different meetings.
Wow.
And I'm being the Uber for my son tonight.
Oh,
at 10 after
that's
the
awesome.
System shuts down. So, no, I did drive today.
He's busy, you see. These public officials, these government people, these politicians, these community transit, these sound transit people, they have busy lives. They're not like you and me, where all we do is sit on the front porch and whittle. They got meetings to go to. They want us to give them billions and billions and billions of dollars for buses and trains so you and I can take those buses and trains so the roads will be free for them and their important lives. So that they can go to all of their meetings and they can take their kids, pick their kids up. I mean, they're not like most parents. Most parents, they just make their kids walk home through gang and drug infested neighborhoods. But this guy, he was the Uber driver for his son after 7 meetings that day. They are a bunch of stinking hypocrites. Next up in the big lead.
The big lead, big local.
And I also have to give praise to Chris Ingalls, King 5 News. He came on a couple hours ago. You can listen to the whole segment on the podcast, but if you missed it, he has just a blockbuster story about there are these drainage ditch districts that go through rural areas like Enumclaw. And these drainage ditches that are, you know, part of our agricultural heritage 100 years ago, these drainage ditches, they go into streams and the streams go into rivers and it's supposed to control things. Well, Chris Ingalls found out that a guy named Alan Thomas, he's been the commissioner of this King County Drainage District, number 5, since 1988, has had all this power and control of taxpayer money. And the money is supposed to go so that they can maintain these drainage ditches.
Public records request to the King County Assessor's Office reveals Thomas assesses the district's property owners between $70,000 to $80,000 per year.
Your district takes about $70,000 a year in assessments.
Yes.
What are you doing with that money?
Well, we have over pretty close to 18 miles worth of ditches to clean.
King County collects the tax from property owners and then pays the contractors who clean the ditches when Commissioner Thomas signs off on the job. Public records show that Thomas's approved contractor is an unregistered company called A Conservation Services. The business address listed is the home of Thomas's mother-in-law. Thomas admits A Conservation was a company founded by his own son.
My son was a legitimate contractor, and before I done it, I checked. I checked very carefully to make sure that it was okay to do business like that, and it was.
But for Thomas to approve public payments to a family member on a drainage system in disrepair raises questions for some people paying those taxes.
I can't say corrupt, but it sounds a little suspicious to me.
So this guy's collected hundreds of thousands in property taxes. The money, he says, went to a company his son started to drain these ditches or maintain these ditches. But when the police got wind of this a while back, Chris Ingalls got the interview at the police station with the son, who says, yeah, my dad never gave my fake company, or I don't know if it's a fake company, but my dad never gave my company any money.
We uncovered this video through a public records request. It shows that the city was so alarmed by Thomas's arrangement that it filed a police complaint.
They weren't done by your business, because there wasn't.
Well, they were done by me, yeah.
Here, a detective interviews Alex Thomas, okay, who says his father started A Conservation Services on his behalf 7 years ago. But Alex only did 2 jobs in 2012, and his dad never paid him.
As far as you're concerned, did you know there was any work being done with this?
No, not after the jobs. That was it.
Okay.
That's all I knew.
So that's the son admitting dad never paid him for these jobs. And so then where's the money?
Yet records show A Conservation Services continued to bill the county for years. And bank documents we received through our request to the police show county payments ended up in a bank account controlled by Thomas's wife, Joanne, seen here speaking at a city council meeting last year. Police records show the county paid A Conservation Services $413,000 in a 5-year period. That's tax money going into a bank account for the personal use of Thomas and his wife.
And the question, I'm running late here, but the question is, how many dozens, scores, hundreds of little taxes like this, how many people personally profit within the government system designed strictly to screw over taxpayers? How many times did this happen? And that guy resigned his position yesterday, and the FBI is now looking into it. He could be in some huge trouble. Great investigative journalism by Chris Ingalls. You check out all those stories at king5.com. That is The Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you and then awesome audio of the day next. Oh, without any further ado, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
By the way, I'm getting your text messages that a lot of people believe that it is cut the mustard.
No, it is.
No, it's not.
Yet it is.
They're quoting some guy from 1919.
No.
And a newspaper from 1899.
No, we owe the governor an apology. We had it wrong.
No.
Cut the mustard.
That's a little too
pass
far.
Muster.
I don't believe that in a second. Okay, I got to get to the awesome audio here. At number three, Bill de Blasio is now the 23rd, 24th, 25th Democrat to run for president. How did New Yorkers feel about it? This is on MSNBC. Sure that MSNBC supports a far-left guy.
Number three.
What do you think about Mayor de Blasio announcing he's running for president?
Very disappointed.
Yeah?
I personally would not vote for him.
My concern is more how there's a lot of Democrats running for president, and it makes it complicated to narrow down on a choice.
He needs help. Seriously. The guy hasn't done really jack. He really hasn't.
Yeah.
Besides, it's about a time a woman runs this country.
I think he should announce it on the 1st of April.
And why is that?
Because it would have been a good April Fool's Day joke.
Those are New Yorkers at the New York subway talking about their mayor. They can't stand the man, and he wants to be president. And then you got the current president, Donald Trump. This is unusual. A Hollywood conservative, Kelsey Grammer, who played the role of me on Frasier for so many years. Kelsey Grammer talked about the president.
Number two.
Many people believe the sort of fabric is being disrupted and, you know,
well, I think the fabric being disrupted is a good thing.
You do?
Oh, yeah. I do not think Washington was doing us any favors. For the last 50, 60 years, I think they've all been sort of just the same party, the same bunch of clowns, the same bunch of unpleasant people. And I don't think they've been helping anybody but themselves.
And what about people? Do you wonder, I mean, here we hear with Brexit, how can people get back together?
I think
again?
The English people should be just fine because, you know, they've been through a lot worse.
And the American people?
And the American people will be just fine, too. We've been through a lot worse.
Wow, a Hollywood actor defending the press. And people are so upset about disruptors. I like disruptors in general. And at number one, you know, I got a dog. His name is Buddy. We wouldn't let him near our piano. I got kind of a nice little piano at home. And he'd scratch it all up. But another dog named Buddy is taking the internet by storm because he plays the piano and sings while the baby in the family dances nearby.
Number one.
Dog's howling is so funny.
It is. And this dog, I mean, he is standing up at the piano. He pushes the keys and then howls. And then pushes the keys and howls.
It's tough to get Buddy to howl, but Star, I had this one time. And that would just get Star going when I would do that.
You're funny.
Okay, that's our awesome audio of the day brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. And we have a Jim Dandy today's sign now. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Big time show today. And still more to do with today's edition of
Today's Sign that the End is Near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. Let me just say something about the new Seattle Times commenting policy. A few years ago, and I don't even remember who the politician was, but I had a politician on my show, and I was talking to them about illegals. And the politician interrupted me and said, I am not going to let you use that word to describe people who are here in this country as undocumented immigrants. And I said, I'm not going to let the government tell me how to talk and what kind of words I should use. And I think that's pretty scary when politicians think they can tell us what language to use. And I bring this old story up. I wish I remembered who that was. It was some like city council member in some surrounding city. But I bring it up because, as you've heard, Dow Constantine has told ICE they can no longer use Boeing Field to fly illegals in and out of this region. Over the last 8 years, 34,000 illegals have been deported from and through Boeing Field. This is after they have had their case adjudicated before an immigration judge. The judge ruled that they should be deported. And now Dow Constantine saying, yeah, we can't do it out of Boeing Field anymore. And so we have to bus them 2.5 hours to Yakima so that they can be flown in and out of the airport in Yakima. And now Yakima city officials say, well, we probably shouldn't let them use our airport either, which is really strange given that the feds give money to these airports and a lot of private contractors are hurt by this. They get, you know, tens of millions of dollars from the feds over the years. And now Dow Constantine says, yeah, I've decided, King Dow, that we're not going to let them use the airport anymore. I mean, some of the 34,000 who were deported were convicted rapists and murderers who were illegals. And why there is such a mania to keep them in this region, I know why, and I'm sure you know why. Because illegal criminals are Democrats, almost unanimously. And they hope to have a path to citizenship so that, you know, Bernie wants them to be able to vote while they're in prison. You know, so, I mean, it's just, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. So anyway, I was reading the Seattle Times comments about this, and one guy said, it's interesting that under the new commenting system, you can say alien and you can say illegal, but you cannot write them together in the common vernacular when discussing undocumented immigrants. In other words, the Seattle Times won't let you call them illegal aliens or illegals. And a Seattle Times staffer got into the comment thread and said, this is correct. We do not allow terms such as illegal, illegal immigrant, or illegal alien to describe a person or group of people. Describing an action as illegal is okay. Describing a person as illegal is dehumanizing. Now, the Seattle Times is a private business, and they are free to run their business however they like. I just find it really odd. I mean, they can tell their reporters and their columnists and their editorial writers, they can say, hey, here's our policy. We will not use this phrase. But to tell your readers what language they must use for a business that has been built for well over a century on the First Amendment and free speech. And I find it just as detestable as a politician telling me what phrase that I can and can't use, that, you know, what is still a very powerful First Amendment protected, but private. So I'm not saying anything they're doing is illegal. I'm just saying strikes me as bizarre that they are telling their readers what language they must use. I understand it as an internal policy. I reject it as a commenting policy. Oh, and I guess my next comment would not be allowed in the Seattle Times. An illegal in the Northwest was driving drunk. His name is Eduardo de Lima Vargas. He was driving drunk down in Salem, Oregon. He ran a red light and he hit a motorcycle carrying 34-year-old Logan Wilson and his 32-year-old wife, Jessica. Both of them dead on the scene. De La Lima Vargas was arrested on two counts of first-degree manslaughter, DUI, reckless driving, two counts of reckless endangerment after this deadly crash. And now he has been sentenced to 12 and a half years in prison. Maybe, just maybe, if our politicians here in the Northwest, and Oregon's just as bad as Washington, if we didn't have policies that made us a magnet destination for illegals, sorry, Seattle Times, that couple would likely still be alive today. All right, and finally in today's sign. Tattoo, tattoo. A very costly procedure is on the rise in America. An increasing number of people in America have gotten face tattoos over the last couple of decades. A guy named Mauricio Arias, 30 years old, he has 11 face tattoos, and he now regrets them. One was a bloodied knife and brass knuckles. Looking at this guy's face, it's just a mess. But he said he can't get a job now. Anytime he walks in for an interview, nobody will hire somebody with 11 face tattoos. He says he feels trapped. He wants to turn his life around. And good for him, to his credit. So he's been getting a college degree, working in construction, going to church, and is 5 years sober. And he is now getting the middle of his hand, or the, he's in the middle of getting his face, neck, and hand tattoos removed with lasers. And I found out that this is a huge business now. Face tattoo removal. Costs about $400 per session. You know, I should get rid of my thug life eyebrow tattoos. I can afford $400 a session. And across America, while a lot of celebrities have gotten face tattoos and a lot of their fans have followed suit, the non-celebrities are learning that that's quite an anvil around your neck as you try to make your way through life. So it's one of the fastest growing businesses in America. If you're looking for an investment, get into the face tattoo removal biz. And all of that is today's sign, the end is near. Now I got to get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. Got a cold tattoo. We fought for the union. Some of us still do. On my shoulder is the number of the chapter he was in. I'll go home, think up a bunch of great stuff for our Friday show tomorrow. Candy, Mike, and Todd are coming up next. And I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. Head up.
That's how we do.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.